today and to share the work of my collaborators. And let's see if this comes up. I think I may have gotten the dubious distinction of having the most number of collaborators on any particular project. They're either from the Duval County Health Department and our research institute, or from the College of Medicine Jacksonville, including our research center there, as well as the Department of Internal Medicine, and particularly endocrinology. Our focus is on diabetes prevalence. Diabetes is a growing epidemic in this country and throughout the world. And the prevalence estimates for diabetes in this country are typically based on national surveys, particularly the NAINS survey and so on. And if you go to the CDC website, you see there that, for instance, Duval County has kind of roughly the same prevalence rate as the rest of the state, a couple tenths of a percent variation from the rest of the state. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And there's other methods for measuring prevalence. I don't think there's any recognized method that's considered to be a very good method. And so what I'm going to be talking about today is some of the various kinds of statistics that can give us some ideas about this, but the importance of perhaps looking at multiple sources. Some people have looked at hospital and primary care diagnoses to estimate the prevalence. Others have looked at BRFSS types of surveys, where the BRFSS basically has a self-report on diagnosed diabetes. This particular chart comes from Florida Charts, which is a source of information on health statistics throughout the state, and it particularly compares Duval County to the state total. Here you can see, even though the CDC estimates the prevalence is somewhat similar between Duval County and the state, here you see the mortality rate is quite a bit higher. In fact, there's a lot of different ways of looking at this, but if you look at the mortality rate, for instance, of the top 10 largest counties, the counties that are over 500,000, Duval exceeds all of those other counties. So it's higher than the statewide average. It's also basically higher in almost every other estimate for mortality. If we look at Jacksonville, how important this is, a lot of people end up looking at the cost of this to the community. And you can see that obviously diabetes is, we all know that diabetes is a tremendous burden for the individuals that have it and for their families. But it's also a major burden for a society. The hospital cost in Duval in 2007 alone was $714 million, and the ER use was $57 million. Those are some pretty substantial amounts of money for a community our size. I think in that new community prevention, putting prevention to work grant, we're classified as an urban area, kind of the 500 to a million people, so we're kind of a moderate size community. That's a lot of money. Our study involved a secondary data analysis using vital statistics, hospital administrative data on hospital related to hospital discharge and ER use, as well as BRFSS data. We did an oversampling of BRFSS survey in 07, and did it for a couple thousand people in our community. So we were able to actually go down and look at some other parts of the community beyond just looking at the overall county. We did GIS mapping, relative risk and prevalence ratios, and also did confidence intervals for a number of those measures. And for the BRFSS, we had to get into weighting. We had to use the CDC weighted sampling for those smaller size communities that we were looking at. When you look at these different types of data that we were looking at, you can see here that obviously some measures are much more sensitive than others. On the far right is the mortality for diabetes. Then you look at mortality for diabetes-related deaths, and the related deaths are those where diabetes is a secondary cause. ER diabetes, and then you start to see the hospital diabetes and hospital-related diabetes rates, and those are kind of more of an incident for an acute type of incident. And the diagnosed prevalence with BRFSS is up around 8,000, and then you go to the estimated prevalence. That's using some of the methodologies that have determined that essentially about a little over around a third of the cases of diabetes are undiagnosed. So that's how we end up with those kind of measures. But you can see obviously a lot more people have diabetes. A lot of them, a smaller percentage of those that end up having diabetes end up in the hospital. Some end up in ERs, and obviously a smaller amount die. But of those people, let me go on and just kind of show you some of the differences in health disparities related to this. And again, looking at the county as a whole, we see maybe it's bad and maybe it's not. When you look at mortality, it starts to look kind of bad. But here we start to see where parts of the community are much more severely affected than other parts. That health zone one, that red area, the mortality rate is up around 93 per 100,000. Some of the other parts of the community are in the low 30s. Most of them are in the 30s and the 40s. You can see that mortality rate is kind of much more like double the rest. And so you see now what is that red area? That's the urban core area. It's about 80% African American. So it's low income, minority population. Jacksonville, Florida is more like a deep South city. A lot of people think of Florida, they immediately think of Miami, Tampa kinds of communities. We're much more of a deep South kind of city, much more of the legacy of slavery and segregation and those kind of things. And you see that in a lot of our health statistics. So that, health zone one there, you see the mortality rate for that. If we go to the diabetes hospitalization rate, again, there you see the health zone one, that urban core area that's heavily African American, much, much higher hospitalization rates. And if we go to ER use, same kind of phenomena, much higher utilization of ERs in that particular part of the community. So that has some pretty profound implications for the community. When you start to look at the cost of hospitalization, the cost of ER use, it's obviously much more highly associated with that part of the community. And of course, that part of the community is poor, uninsured, and poor access to primary care and so on. So we're looking at some important policy issues for that, for healthcare, many of them being debated today related to healthcare reform. This particular map is a little bit kind of not quite consistent with the other maps that we were looking at. And this is related to the BRFSS data. And here we see that the outer zone has a little bit higher diagnosed diabetes as reflected in the BRFSS data. And so there we see fewer diagnosed cases. And then when we go to this map here, this is showing basically the ratios, the relative risk and so on, the prevalence ratios and so on. We see that although health zone one in compared to the rest of the county, health zone one is higher, statistically higher than all of the other, for all of the measures we were looking at. There are some things, the diabetes deaths and so on, that are fairly high. The ER use and the ER diabetes related use are much, much higher. Hospitalization, much higher. But the diagnosis according to BRFSS are higher, but not anywhere near as high. Now, that raises some interesting questions. Partially, is the issue that the people in those parts of the community don't have access to care that they even get diagnosed, and so they may be getting undiagnosed. I think there's other issues, though, with the BRFSS potentially not being sensitive to collecting data from minority populations. Florida has had a tendency to have an underrepresentation of the black community in the surveillance, and when you do weighting, you end up basically ascribing a measure to the people that do respond to the survey, but those people don't necessarily reflect the people that are not responding to the survey. So there may be a little bit of an insensitivity, and that may be, as you may be familiar, that's probably being exacerbated pretty extensively by the use of cell phones and the inadequacy, the problems with doing cell phone surveys based on cell phones. That's some of the statistical analysis, some of our conclusions and implications. We need to more fully understand diabetes prevalence and impact at the local level. our institute, our research institute with the health department and our research center at the College of Medicine basically are both dedicated to using science and research to focus more on the local community and basically to serve the local community. The idea is that we spend too much on generalizing our, focusing on generalizable research, and we're basically missing a lot of what's going on. It goes back to Rene DeBose's adage about think globally but act locally. And if we're really going to solve many of the problems, we have to get deeper into the problems. Major disparities in diabetes risk and prevalence can be found at the local level. So even though we see problems when we're comparing Duval to others, we really start to see the problems when we go down into the local level. And we really have to start to look at local level if we really want to look, if we want to examine disparities and better understand disparities and start to address disparities, we really have to do much more at the local level. The lack of prevention and primary care within high-risk minority populations appears to result in high cost to society and local communities. So that undiagnosed cases, whatever the reasons for it are, the lack of primary care, the lack of prevention, the lack of access to care and so on, those things ending up costing society much more. So it doesn't make sense for us to not put the money into the front end, into primary care, into primary prevention. As I suggest, the BRFSS may not be an adequate tool for monitoring prevalence within high-risk minority populations. And that's probably true for other things, not just diabetes. I mean, we've seen some statistics there that indicates that our minority populations are getting mammography and all kinds of things, and we're kind of wondering, well, is this really accurate, or is it due to some flaws in the survey methodology? And policies that address the increasing epidemic of diabetes may be needed at all levels, not just at the state and national level, but we may need to have the means to develop policies at the local level if we're going to successfully address this particular epidemic. And there's some contact information, and those are websites for our two centers if you care to join us. Yes?
Did you study type 2 diabetes or type 1, type 2?
It was primarily type 2.